like you should be trying to fill that space with something to do.
I will. Yes, I have cancer, everyone.
We were
because you're beating around the bush.
Specific thing, but it's just in the sense of to button it, thank you for being nice, because I've only ever like in entertainment and comedy have only wanted to make people happy. So when someone messages me and is like, hey, these videos are very funny, I'm like, thank you, that's all I'm going for, thank you so much, I don't really care about, you know, who sees it or whatever, you know, thank you. So thank you for being kind and not calling me a gay slur or something for any you know, that's just how the internet works.
Patriarchy.
But welcome to Dinner at Your Place, and welcome back to the listeners, because we have to just kind of treat this like how when your friend breaks up with someone and then like 2 weeks later they're back together with that person and you can't say anything that you had just said like a week ago, and you just kind of have to be like, oh, all right, that didn't happen. So yeah, if you're listening, no, I didn't just take like a month off. Shut the fuck up, okay? We're back. People gotta eat. Winter's hard, and we're just gonna pick the ball up rolling like it never stopped. So with that said, this is going to be an awesome episode, because this is the epitome of what I was going for when I started Dinner at Your Place. You are not a comedian. You are a human being who I met 5 days ago?
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, if that, you know, and just met in person now. So welcome to Dinner at Your Place, and welcome back to the listeners, but please, Sabrina D'Souza! Woo! Yeah, just, and if again, if you're listening and like, how did she get on? She literally sent me a message that was kind, and then said, I have questions for you about comedy and want to like hang out, and I was like, cool, you want to just come do the podcast? So, that's basically just don't be a dick, and that's how I'll make food for you. I'm stoked because this is a completely clean slate of an interview of like, I don't plan any questions except one stock question at the end. And I try to ask one like planned question throughout the episode. And the one that I planned for this one is, who are you?
Well, my name is Sabrina Piedad D'Souza.
Ooh.
I'm 4'9".
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. We were just hanging out there, and I would not have guessed under 5.
I'm small but not tiny.
Mmm, love that. Already we might have the title, small but not tiny. So, I'm not going to use the M word. Are you like a legal little person? Like, what's the height cutoff? Oh,
people love to ask that. Technically, yes, but I...
Again.
I'm... My doctor never said anything.
Hell yeah. And I'm like, it doesn't matter either way. I just was curious about, like, the cutoff of roller coaster rides. Like, what is that?
I can ride roller coasters.
That may have been a better way. Can you ride roller coasters would have been... So... were you obviously always smaller child?
Yes, I was born at 7 months and 2.5 pounds.
Wow. Mm-hmm. 7 months, 2.5 pounds. Were they worried about you at first of like, oh man, she might, we need, just bring it, yeah. We need her to hang out in this incubator for, you know, 3 weeks or something before she can go home with you?
There was, I was strong and breathed well. I stayed in the incubator for a month and went home at 4 pounds.
4 pounds? Jesus Christ. As I grow older, my sister just had a baby, and
aww,
you know,
your uncle. Awesome.
I am. Why does that keep floating? That's so frustrating. You know, and you always hear the stories of like, you were 9 pounds, 2 ounces. You were a big baby. And it's like, 9 pounds does not seem that big at all. And then you hear 4 and you're like, whoa, okay. Yeah, 9 is, whew, all right. So are you only child?
Only child.
Only child. Okay. We're going to fix this.
Hang yes. On. With a single mother.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. 1 second. We're pausing. Okay. So, is she a tiny Spitfire also? Is this how the existence of the DeSouzas has always been? Tiny?
My mom is taller than me. She's 5'2".
A giant.
Yes, compared. She's from an immigrant from Guatemala.
Oh, wow, okay.
And my dad is from India.
Wow, that's a fun combo right there. That's not, I feel like that's... Of the biracial combos, of course, you know, people meet people, but I feel like that's not one that you normally hear combined. So you have a fun double culture. Single mom, though, so dad wasn't hanging?
Dad was around, but not participated a lot till I was an adult.
Mom's mom power.
Mom power, yep.
So she comes here...
She came in 89.
89, okay. And you're... How old are you?
32, and my birthday was March 15th.
Woo, happy birthday!
Yeah!
Okay, so you're 2 years, I'm 30. Comes in 89, so you're born in 92 then, so she
93.
Bops... 93, okay. So she bops around for like 4 years, getting to know the lay of the land.
Yes. Oh, yes, she's... She's lived in Boston the whole time, yes. That's
right, yeah. Bops around Boston. I didn't mean like this brand new immigrant crosses the country and is like, let's go see what California's about. No, like bops around here and wasn't like, now that I'm here in America, I'm going to have a child. It wasn't like an immediate thing.
Yeah, she, my dad, yes.
Yeah.
They got married. They divorced when I was 6.
Yeah, no, I didn't think she was like... why? Oh my God! I can't believe I'm blank. Lewis and Clark. That when she landed in Boston, she was like, "Time to go explore the Western frontier." No, but I didn't know if you came along immediately, just because then I was curious if that layer of I'm in a new place, I don't know this place.
Gotcha.
Oh my God! I'm a mom now too.
Interesting for you to bring that up. Interesting perspective.
How so?
Glad you're a guy asking that or even thinking about it.
Oh, I mean, I personally was not raised by, my dad was around, he was there. My parents divorced semi-recently, a couple years back. But he was, you know, we had a nuclear family, but I spent so much more time with my sister and my mom. Like, we just hung out so much. So, like... You know, how I made the joke before of like, thanks for not calling me a gay slur. Like, that's been my whole life because of my, I gravitate more towards feminine energy, quote unquote feminine energy. Gotcha. Because to me, that's just caring, kindness. That those are the qualities that I associate, you know, more so in women and motherhood. And I guess if I was going to think about like, again, a female immigrant moving to a new place, already crazy difficult for 9,000 reasons. Being a mother, crazy difficult for 9,000 reasons. You put them together, couple stories there, I'm sure. So that's all I was, you know, curious about, way of how long that, and it's not like 4 years is even that much long, you know. It's not just like, well, I understand everything now, time to have a kid. It's so, you've always been in Mass, though, you said, until Kentucky. You grew up in Alston too, right?
Alston and Rosendale.
So you have more claim to Alston than I do myself, and I like to think of myself as an Alston rat. Like, I named my, you know, little production company, Hooker Boy Studios. And whenever people ask why it's called that, and I tell them, oh, that's the street I live on, they go, you put out publicly where you live. And I'm like, yeah, who cares? It's Alston. Doesn't matter. It's sort of like the, you know, and also if someone was to show up and be like, hey, I'm a fan, I would be like, this is awesome. What the hell? I can't believe you found me. So, you know, maybe one day I'll get killed. But until then, I'm going to keep asking strangers to hang out and make food for them and put my address on the internet. Who cares?
Who cares at this point? All our information's on the internet.
Oh, so Twin Donuts is now gone.
It is gone.
How sad is that for you as someone who's been here for, you know, 20 total, 25? 23. 23, okay. I was, damn it, right under and over.
That was such an important
landmark for me. Not even just landmark, but like, when I first moved here, I Googled good food near me, and Twin Donuts came up, Spike's Hot Dogs came up, Spike's Junkyard Dogs, and Garlic and Lemons came up over, you know, by where Great Scott was. Again, another three of those four things that I just named, though, are now gone. So what was growing up in Alston like? Was it as punky as all the stories say?
It was more Latino growing up.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Okay, so yeah. It was more, instead of like ratty, gross college-looking kids, it was a Latino area. And now,
there was more Latino shops around.
Interesting. Sure. Okay.
Yeah, so now it's all Korean.
I was going to say, it's a lot of Koreans, a lot of Turks, a lot of Turkish spots coming up. I don't know if you've noticed that, but the Turks are taking over. And I'm kind of about it. I like their spinach pies anyway. I feel like there's a couple barber shops around that I feel like, but so how does that feel then for you as you grow up here? You see all these Latino shops around, you go away for work, come back for a reason we'll get to, and now Alston's changed. So not only is what's going on with you changing, the neighborhood's changing. How did that hit you, and how did you reacclimate to this new Alston?
I could still see myself walking the same sidewalks. I could still envision myself as that like 7-year-old girl, or coming home from high school, walking past Twin Donuts.
It's both. That's not gone. So it's more about the ground necessarily, and what the hollowed steps that you once took, instead of like, oh, there's that barbershop that, you know, a homie used to run, or there's that deli that I would go to with the girls after school or whatever. It's more just like, here's where I am. It's not about what's here. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So I think that's a good attitude to have also, because we get so caught up of like the visual changes of stuff, you know, maybe your favorite deli got torn down or whatever, but the sidewalks still the same, the air, you know, it's still the energy.
The trains, the buses.
It's exactly, there's, so you might have to look a little harder.
But there's always familiarity around.
What's one of your favorite familiar spots that you go to when, you know, you just want to like sit and hang out or something? What's a spot that you went to as a kid that's still here? And it could be a bench even.
Well,
or just
there's
like
a park. I live across from Ranger Park.
Nice.
So I take my dog there now.
Nice. Ranger, is that the...
It used to be near the Jackson Man.
I was going
to
say, I can bleep this part so we don't say exactly where you live. But is that near...
It's on Alston Street.
Yeah, right where Stingray was, that tattoo, like in that, at that corner?
No.
No? Ranger Park.
There's like Alston Street, there's a, used to be the school, the elementary school.
Okay.
Behind it.
Huh, all right, well, the reason I asked too is because I moved here back in 2016 for a romance that somebody lives over that way by you as well. So I was curious if the park that you take your pup to is the park that their apartment overlooks. And I'm like, what a small coincidence again.
It probably is, though. I know small. Boston is smaller than people think.
It really is. Well, that's why, again, you know, you put a couple of videos out on the internet and then someone says they're funny. And then you're like, hey, do you want to hang out? And you're like, yeah, I live down the street from you. It's like, wow, I have. Okay, this world is really tiny. So feeling comfortable in looking in the smaller moments because things have changed for you, that park, does that just kind of represent a place that time stands still a little bit, where you can just kind of sit, hang out with Jacques the dog and not have to worry about the ever changing landscape of whether it be Alston or doctor's appointments or whatever?
Yes, I have to find normalcy in the little things in life now.
So that normalcy that I think someone like myself who hasn't been given a diagnosis can often feel boring or like you should be trying to fill that space with something to do.
I will. Yes, I have cancer, everyone. Because you're beating around the bush.
I was trying to. You're right. I was going to say at some point, because you were pulled from your job in Kentucky to come back here. Mm-hmm. I know the story. So I was going to say at one point, what pulled you back from Kentucky? But we were talking, I was trying to find a way without saying it while still asking this question about normalcy. But yeah, you got cancer.
I do.
You have, got it good.
I have breast cancer.
Okay. So this normalcy that, again, that we all find maybe boring and almost resent it, does this now then just become like, oh my god, thank goodness I just get to sit on this bench and throw a ball to my dog?
Yes. I'm very grateful for those moments, but like I still feel the need to be doing something, to be contributing, or, you know.
Okay, so then how do you manage contributing and wanting to contribute? Because I'm going to take a swing here and assume that when you have cancer and you presenting with cancer of like, you don't have hair right now. This is an audio podcast, so people don't know that. But I would have to guess people want to do a lot of things for you. They want to help, I would hope at least.
Somewhat, yes. Some people Jesus. Pull away.
Oh, man. We'll get to that later. So if you are, let's go with the positive first. If you're, let's say you're hanging out with someone or in a situation where you're like, you're trying to contribute, whether work, something, you know, whatever. And a person that you're talking with wants to take the reins from you or help out. Do you see that more as helping out or like, or is, kind of like, what's the fucking phrase I'm looking for? Like they're pitying you in a way.
Mm. Well, when during chemo, I needed more help.
Okay, for sure.
But now that I'm done with chemo, I have surgery next Thursday.
For are we cutting them off? Double mass?
No.
Okay.
Lumpectomy.
Lumpectomy, okay.
Yes, but they have to do the biopsy of the lymph nodes.
Okay. See. So we're coming in through the side, right? Is that?
Yes.
Okay. nice little side attack. So, what was the question that I just... Oh, about the helping during chemo, that certainly, I hope at least during it was a time where you accepted that help. And how hard was that though? Because if you are this spitfire person that wants to contribute and wants to take care of themselves, what is that then like to take a back seat in your own life where someone is taking care of you?
I didn't like it initially. I felt really uncomfortable.
Yeah, I bet.
But with cancer, there's just so, like, with chemo specifically, there's so much change in your body that you kind of just have to let go and go with the flow and just accept the help you need.
What were some of the changes? I mean, a sickness, of course.
I'm going through menopause. Yes, I lost my hair.
Wait, you're going through menopause because of the chemo?
It initiates it because I need to, because part of my cancer responds to estrogen and progesterone. Whatever the hormone is
menopause started early because they were trying to treat the cancer. I didn't see.
Yeah, that's the whole point of breast cancer. Yes, it's connected to hormones as well. It can be. Sometimes it's not. But my mom had cancer and my auntie did.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Okay. Or not BRCA gene, though.
Not BRCA gene?
BRCA gene. It's not in. It's genetically based, obviously, but we don't have that marker.
I thought you sneezed. God bless you. BRCA gene. So how do you accept then this change and this what's something that you
go to therapy?
Nice. Huge.
Yes, the week after my diagnosis I started therapy.
Nice. Also let's go, actually, because let's go to the diagnosis part. I know I'm kind of bopping around here, but that was a really crazy story that you told me before off mic, where you got your diagnosis 10 months after you felt something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I woke up January 2024 with a psychological, deep-rooted dread that something awful was coming. And I didn't know what it was, so I was like, I had to prepare myself professionally and financially and eventually, like, save up for health insurance.
I tried to not ask as many questions then because I will ask all of them now. You woke up, was it a specific dream or just a feeling?
It was just a feeling. Like one of those gut feelings.
Just a gut feeling that something was going to happen. And did you feel like it was something personal or the world or just something?
I knew it was personal.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So you had like a Raven Simone, That's So Raven flashback of like, oh God, something's going to happen. I don't know what it is. I don't know the context for it, but.
Exactly. So, like, I also felt the need to, like, really work out and, like, just be physically strong as well.
Wow. So that's January. You get diagnosed 10 months, so November, October, something like that. So that whole year, 2024, last year, you start the year in Kentucky, just working your job.
Yes.
Being a.
I'm a speech therapist.
A Latina woman in Kentucky. Yes.
Which biracial.
I'm a biracial woman in Kentucky, which I'm sure is a lot. I'm sure that wasn't the most fun thing.
I'm in Louisville, which is a blue dot in a red state.
Okay.
Pretty progressive.
Okay, cool. All right. So
it wasn't terrible, and it is diversifying. I worked with a lot of Cubans.
Fun. Okay, so the stereotype and the first thought that people have of Kentucky is no longer, maybe it's changing a little bit while still
in the bigger city.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
So kind of like an Austin, like that kind of, you know. So, okay. So, and you're loving life down there, right? Enjoying it at least.
I was really stressed out. Like, I was working a lot. Yeah. I was burnt out. Yeah. I wasn't happy necessarily. I was kind of just going through the motions.
Okay.
Especially all of 2024.
Right. Gotta save up for this impending
doom
thing that will happen.
I had my job. I had my friends there. You saw my Instagram. It's all like videos of animals.
Yeah,
so those
exactly.
are all animals from Kentucky.
So that's, I was also curious about that. Is there, do you, did you run like a, a farm? Did you work with a farm? Did you just have access to a lot of animals?
Kentucky has a lot of animals. So, like, I could be driving around the neighborhood and I saw four horses. And so I stopped and got to know the horses. And then...
Kentucky has a lot of animals.
But they don't have a vet school.
They don't have vets?
Even though they have the Kentucky Derby, you know.
But they don't have, like, a horse-specific vet school?
They do not.
Wow. I feel like there's a good business opportunity there. Mm-hmm. So you're just driving around getting to know horses?
Yes, and yeah, I've seen pigs, chickens.
There's a lot on that Instagram. And so
yes,
can you just walk, like, would you just walk up to these animals? Or would you shout, like, hey, can I pet your horse? Like, what's the deal here?
Oh, with the horses, they were just like in a field. So like I drove by and I stopped by the fence and
okay.
You know, I would just start feeding them.
Okay.
And also a lot of like the birds, you see the parrots.
Out of the palm action. Eating out of my hand. Look, oh my God, it's so cute.
Yes. I would go to I became friends with owners of pet shops.
Smart.
Mm-hmm. So that's where I would get content from too. But because I was like... going to kids' houses or daycares for work, or I would have sessions at the park or grocery store. Mm-hmm. I really got to see the city and got to make those connections there.
Nice. What's while we're in Louisville right now, what's one thing that you would want to tell people about Louisville that, you know, they might not know already? You know, like how I was like, oh, Kentucky is probably still backwards and, you know, all the hack comedic jokes that go of like, oh, cousin fucking and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, here you are saying like, no, it's not that, you know, it's a blue dot, at least in Louisville. Like what, like a Kentucky sunrise, like what's that? Is it nice? You ever seen one of those? I'm just trying to think of something specific to Kentucky, like about the nature of it or
the bluegrass.
You got what I was picking up.
Appalachian Mountains. It's beautiful.
Okay, so it's prettier than you might think. Like if you know when someone says Kentucky,
it's less urban.
Hmm.
Like well, like within the city, you know. But if you go out to the outskirts of the city, it becomes more rural, more farmy,
sprawled out. Okay, mm-hmm. All right. Nice little place to hang out and pontificate upon life.
It is. Cheaper cost of living.
I mean we're in like what is this, the third most expensive city or something?
I have two condos there.
You have two?
Yeah.
Can I have one?
I know. I know, like I have cancer now. I don't know what I'm gonna do about Kentucky.
Yeah, so let's do you want to go back
financially? Yes. But I have been contemplating starting my own practice here.
Okay.
And because of like the best healthcare in the entire nation, I have to stay here for a bit. Yeah.
First off, how are things going with cancer?
Mm.
Are we, you know, this surgery and, you know, that we're going in for, like, when was the last appointment?
Oh, the 16th of March.
Okay.
So like that was for another mammogram and ultrasound.
Okay. And thumbs up?
Yes. It looks like my body responded to chemo. Yes.
Love to hear that.
Yes. I only had four.
Four rounds?
Four rounds, but they were 21 also, days apart.
Quote unquote, only.
Yes. Only. Yes.
Yeah. I only was viciously poisoned four times.
But the good thing, they were spread 21 days apart to allow the immune system to reset, or as much as it could reset.
But you just still, I mean, again, it's poison. You're getting wrecked. Like you can't sleep, you can't eat. Like how do you exist during chemo?
Well, I was.
Were you still working? Let's start there.
I tried.
You psycho!
I worked. Okay, for my first two cycles, I worked. I was seeing kiddos.
What?
Because the need to contribute, the need to be productive it's, you know.
I guess.
The daughter of a Latina immigrant, so.
I, as not the daughter of a Latina immigrant, still understand the need to contribute because you don't want to feel lazy or, you know, just as a human being. And then though you add in the cultural aspect of a Latina woman and the fight, like we have to always be on, always be up, so to speak. And so if you're puking up whatever amounts during chemo, hanging out on a couch, I have to imagine that, yes, you would want to contribute. I still think you're crazy, but more power to you. And I understand it. So,
well, for me, the symptoms were worse only the like 4 to 5 days after. By day, I was able to go back to the gym by day 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very impressive. And so back to the gym 100%? I don't know how 100% you can be.
Well, I will say with the chemo, it's like the shock to the sensory system. So I do have some like tingling in my hands and feet.
Is that going to go away?
It does. It's intermittent, yes.
Okay.
I'm obviously just tired overall. But going to the gym has been a lifesaver during treatment mentally, too. It kind of lets me, you know, do parallel play with others, just watching other people watching and moving my body. And because with chemo, you feel every muscle.
Ooh.
Yes. So the normal movements like bending or like walking, taking jog for a walk, like I had to learn to appreciate it. And I felt like I had to like relearn how to move my body in a more efficient way.
Oh man, you just feel everything. Oh yeah. No, I mean, this is bringing a broken chain to a car accident. But when you say feel everything, that reminds me of like if you have the flu and you like go to put a sweatshirt on or pull a blanket up and you're like, oh, why does my skin hurt?
Yep.
Like, why? Oh, this feels weird. Is it like kind of like that in a way? Yes. Yeah.
But I will say for me, the worst part was the psychological. I got cancer crazies.
Cancer crazies?
Yeah.
Is that is that the scientific term for it?
No.
But it seems like what is...
So like emotionally, I was like obviously very, very anxious, very depressed, but it was like a lot of just like crying and like...
Yeah.
Hopelessness.
Yeah. So that's where the therapy comes in.
Yes.
I don't know if I believe you.
The cancer crazies have gotten better since I'm done with chemo and since I'm further along in my diagnosis. Mm-hmm. They may come back, I don't know.
Well, on the flip side, what I can offer is that the crazies come and go for everyone, regardless of cancer. So, you know, you might just get the regular crazies come back, you know, who knows. So that's all I can offer in the sense of you might, it might not. And day by day, right, champ? That's what we were talking about before.
Yes. And if, you know, if I get too crazy that I don't want to do a full hospitalization, there are partial hospitalizations when you go to like intensive therapy during the day and you come back home in the evening. So that's a great in between.
Yes. Can you, so I know about like that whenever I think of mental health and outpatient programs and stuff like that, it's because of, oh, I'm about to snap or spiral or what. Can you call up and say like, I have cancer, I'm struggling with this right now.
Yes.
I don't know what to do.
Well, yeah, I needed a referral, but I told my therapist, like I got to a point in which like, I don't know if I can handle this. Like I feel like I, but I feel like I need to have intensive therapy. Like it's group therapy, individual. Yeah. Sometimes there's art therapy. So but basically they try to pack like a whole year's worth of therapy in like a month or so.
Hear your feelings. You're going to feel all of this.
But I decided that I already felt all the feelings. So I can save that for another time.
What would... okay, so here's this disease, cancer, that everyone it has been touched by. Meanwhile, it seems like we have Band-Aids, and whether that be for the actual treatment of it or like, hey, I have cancer. I am not doing well. I need to talk to someone. And it's like, go talk to this group. Like, what would you change about how the country, whether it be the healthcare system or other people, view cancer? This thing that is such a big part of everyone's life, but almost, again, how I was beating around the bush for host purposes of like, I'm going to find my way in here and bring this up beautifully. And meanwhile, you're like, I have cancer. It's like, what would you change? Again, healthcare, people, like, what would you make want to be different about this entire illness? Obviously, outside of it not existing.
I will say I've had great healthcare at Dana-Farber. It's a wonderful
shout out Dana-Farber.
Yes, yes, wonderful oncologist and wonderful surgeon.
Yeah,
wonderful nurses as well. I guess I want people to remember, like, even though I have cancer and others have cancer, we're still very much alive.
Hell yeah. Because you,
even though death is right here, it's right next to me. Like, that's the kind of shadow I live with. Like, death is right there, but cancer just really puts life in the present and in this moment. Like, I'm right here.
Tiny but not small. What was that? Right, small but not tiny. Whatever the phrasing of it was. It was that's. I feel like that's the same kind of. You know, there's a person behind it. It's no different from. Me having it's very different, but in the sense of if you have OCD or anxiety or
it's a condition that can be treated.
You. Exactly.
It doesn't define
it does not define you. So outside of, you know, what are you looking to get back to, like a hobby? What's something you'd love to do that you haven't been able to do recently that when things start really turning around, you're like, I can't wait to get back to that? Because you just said the cancer bubble's starting to lift a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Because, like, I will say with most people with cancer, you go through a period of isolation.
I assume you have to.
Well, mentally and in terms of immunity, yes.
Oh, duh, man. Okay, duh. I went to the physical aspect first of like, yeah, that makes complete sense for immunity purposes. But I bet also the mental isolation of like, back to that, like, I don't want people to pity me. I want to be seen as who I am. I don't want to be seen as just this. So, yeah. So anyway, continue.
I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. I'll get it back. It was, we were talking about the habits and things, yes, that you enjoy doing previous to all of this, that as this bubble is lifting, you're excited to get back to. Look at that. He took a month off and he didn't even miss a step. We're back, baby. That was just for me. I haven't done an episode in a month, so the fact that the guest said, I forgot what I was talking about, and I was like, don't worry, I gotcha.
That's good working memory.
That's what I'm saying. That's host working right there. So anyway,
hobbies. I hadn't done it in years, but dancing. I went to two classes this week, salsa and bachata.
Fun. How did the body feel?
I was sore, but like the gym, going to the gym, like throughout my diagnosis. Yes, good sore.
Okay.
I'm trying to build up stamina.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going back to dancing, salsa and bachata.
Yes.
Which one is? Yeah, I'm gonna choose this one. Which one's sexier?
Bachata.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I feel like salsa is the one that people immediately go to of like, that one's hot. Bachata's
it's more sensual.
Ooh. So, salsa is. I'm not even gonna try. Like, what's the difference between the two?
Bachata is more sidestepping and salsa is more forward and back.
Oh, okay. So the side to side is the sensual.
It's more like, well, both of them are.
I feel so turned on going east to west. I'm teasing.
Where are we at? Let's check in here.
All right. This is a tough one, but how did you... I'm assuming you felt robbed when you first got the diagnosis. You know, you're 31 years old, 32 years old. This is when we're supposed to be hitting our...
Peak,
prime, you know, new chapter, all that. And meanwhile, you get told, hey, you have breast cancer. So how do you accept this, you know, again, in my brain, did you feel robbed? And then how did you, sticking with that metaphor, get the money back?
Well, it feels like the ultimate betrayal.
Okay, yeah, that's...
Your body just gave up on you, yeah. And now you have to fight to get it back and to regain almost your autonomy.
It's a tiring fight.
Yeah.
How do you, you know, it seems... Again, and more power. I'm only saying this, and I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm just more realistic of like, how do you keep
you just have to find a routine. Like every day, I wake up and I make my smoothie, and I go to the gym and I walk my dog. You know, clean the apartment.
So it really is just the little moments.
The little moments. Get frozen yogurt. Because that's the end.
That's so fucking funny. Like, I, again, just being the right, you know, quote unquote regular, sad boy, like, you know, no big C word, anything like that. Every couple nights will be like, I need a milkshake. I'm sad. Like, that's...
I feel that.
Because that's my little thing. It's, for me, is that just that malted vanilla milkshake is... It's a little 12 ounces of happiness. And I, you know... I am so grateful that something that small can make me that happy. It is a little silly. Absolutely, but I would rather it be silly than not have ice cream make me happy. And I think we're, you know, off mic about this before. The little things are just so easily taken for granted. And I know that that's such a cliche, but it, you said your entire perspective was changed when this happened, and now these little things suddenly are big, and the stress that you felt before is, you know, you're like, why was I stressing about work? So I don't want to ask this question and say, what are some good things? But I will challenge you in a question and ask, how are some things that played out that you're appreciative of for yourself, how you reacted, how you grew through this situation?
I think one of the ultimate lessons is to love myself.
I think that goes... I mean, that's put a period on it for anybody, regardless of the situation. I think that's just such a good, and it's so hard, you know, and we can talk all the talk about like, oh, I don't care what other people think, or like, I really do love myself. But of course there's the creeping moments of, I have to really look in the mirror now and say like, this is what's going on. I don't have my hair. Do I love myself? And God damn it, I do.
I'm really surprised how I was able to, like, resilience, you know, able to pivot. You know, I got my diagnosis, and then, well, luckily I had support in Massachusetts, but within 2 weeks I was able to come back up with my dog, and I have a bunny.
2 weeks, wow. Oh, you have a bunny?
A bunny.
What's Cinnabon. The bunny's name?
Cinnabon.
So...
And I found him but 2 weeks before moving to Massachusetts.
Well, that was... what if that was the big thing that was coming? The bunny.
Oh, I wish. Bunnies are... They have a lot of attitude.
That's no, that the answer, that's just a coincidence. The bunny is what we were trying to tell you about. That's what we were giving you signals for.
The universe, yes. I had to get a bunny.
Cinnabon is going to come into your life. Okay. Let's try and land this plane. Thank you. For real. So when, you know, when you're like, oh, my cancer bubble is lifting, I can do stuff again, like, I totally will come over and hang. Also, what are we eating, by the way?
Chilaquiles.
Which we'll go back to. But thank you really for, like, lifting that bubble and getting me back into this too, because it's silly to sit across from you and be like, I'm scared about how creative pursuits will be received. So why put them out? It seems rude to sit across from you and have that opinion. You know, how you're saying before of like, death sits here. We have today, you know, do all, like, so to sit here and be like, oh, I don't want to cook for people because it's hard, and then I have to edit the podcast, and is there a lot of people listening to... It's like, no, that's not the point. You started this to have real conversations with people and to put them out, and if somebody hears them and makes them think, that's all you're going for. You're not trying to be whatever. It's, you know, just... touch one person. So thank you for snapping me out of my own stupidity of like, oh, the arts are so difficult. Oh, it's so scary. Like, no, shut up, Danny.
Well, art is a form of vulnerability.
It is. And I am hard on myself because I've always been my worst critic. Mm-hmm. And I do understand that art is very vulnerable, and putting myself out there, especially... My whole life I've always been told you wear your heart on your sleeve, you're a very emotional person, you're very sensitive. So when I put things out that either, you know, like if I do a set and it doesn't go well, like I get it. I've been doing stand-up for 10 years. Like I get it just doesn't go well sometimes. But like in a way it does definitely hurt because it's like, this is me. I'm showing you my heart and it didn't go well. But... you got to just re-up at the table. You got to ante up because who knows? So fuck it. I'm going to make the Patreon. I'm going to start going back to the solo episodes. If you're listening to this, I'll have the Patreon episode ready. I know it's crazy to say that on the back of being like, your cancer inspired me, but it's not that. It's you. It's how you react. You know, it's.
And I'm glad your art inspired me.
Because I'm just being fucking lame-o of like, no, what if they don't like it? It's like, what if they do? You know, what if it goes well? Who knows? So, for real, thank you very much for rolling the dice and coming down the street to a stranger's apartment that, you know, you had no idea what was going to happen.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. What is a chilaquile?
It's a Mexican dish.
No, I got that part. Oh, wait. When I sent you the recipe, I Googled chilaquile salsa, raw, whatever you said, like word for word.
Yeah.
And I Googled recipe. And the first link that came up, I looked at a couple, found that one that I sent you. And the first time I clicked it, it was in Spanish. So I was scrolling through and I was like, I know I spoke middle school Spanish. I can pick up words here and there. But a recipe, I would rather know it. So I was just like, without thinking, I was just going to send that to you. And then was like, hey, idiot, you don't know if she speaks Spanish.
I do speak Spanish.
So that was going to be my next question was, do you speak Spanish?
Sí, hablo español. Mi mamá me enseñó cuando tenía, cuando estaba creciendo.
My brother-in-law now, because my sister, they are now married. He learned Spanish for their daughter because they want her to be bilingual. So he took a ton of Spanish lessons and he's actually pretty good. He's got a solid grasp on it. I don't think if you spoke to him, you'd be like, yes, that accent, I know you are a Spanish man, but you'd be like, oh, okay, nice job, white boy, good job. So chilaquile, it's chips and warm salsa.
Yeah, tortillas. It's fried tortillas in a salsa with tomatoes, onions, and chilies.
So who made it for you?
My mom.
Was this like a weekly in the rotation?
If we had company coming.
Ooh, it was a company dish.
Yeah. I grew up religious, as many folks do.
Same. Yeah. You still are?
No. I was raised Mormon.
Mormon?
Yeah.
Not what I would have guessed. Just based on, again, Latina. Mm-hmm.
My dad is Catholic Indian.
Another huge curveball.
Well, De Souza is Portuguese, so the Portuguese were in.
That's what I was Goa. Just thinking of, like, Britain. That probably, yeah, like, that's maybe that's not the biggest curveball, but wow, more. So you grew up Mormon? Were you going door to door and stuff?
I did not serve a mission. I did not do that.
I grew up, I guess Roman Catholic.
I went to Catholic school though.
Oh, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get confirmed?
I did not get confirmed.
Yeah, wait. I was gonna say, how did?
I went to a cool Catholic school. It still exists, St. Mary's in Brookline. So like
Mormon, but you went to a Catholic school.
I went to Catholic school from preschool to sixth grade, and my mom converted when I was six.
Okay. I, for whatever reason, was picturing Sunday school.
Oh.
Like, you're this Mormon kid that on Sundays you just, like, go learn about Catholicism at some random person's house. Because that was what I was picked. That's what I had to do.
Oh.
At certain points during childhood where we go to CCD.
Mm-hmm,
that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then it sucked because then you'd have to go to church right after. So it was like 2 hours of Jesus on Sunday instead of just one. That was always a huge bummer. But
Mormonism, it used to be three.
And I'm sure that there's somebody listening to this right now of like, yeah, well, my mass is 8 hours. So, yeah, got a little disillusioned with the religion and all that. Not for you.
Not for me. Yeah. No.
Yeah, I mean, why go looking for God when you can find him right here in chips and salsa? So it's a company dish. How would she make it? Can you walk me through? Because I really liked the salsa. I might just make that myself for chips and salsa. The part where you lose me is when you put the chips in the salsa and just leave them there. You're not dunking them. You're just leaving them there to become wet. And I don't like that. So I need some explaining done there.
Well, yes, you were supposed to cook them a little longer. They do get wet.
Okay. Yes. So, all right. So,
and the salsa was like I said, tomato, onions.
Yeah, that part. So I did it with grabbed three Roma tomatoes, mm-hmm. bunch of garlic, mm-hmm. Chipotle pepper, jalapeno, a red chili that I don't know the name of. But it was red. onion, I don't know if I said that one. Some spices. Covered it with water. That's what the recipe said. Are you vegetarian?
No.
Okay. I feel like, do you put meat in this ever? Like a chorizo steak or
you can
something?
Yeah, you can do chorizo or like egg on top.
That's because I was looking at the recipe and I was like, I feel like chorizo would be really good in this. I was going to get it. They did not have chorizo of all the things. So did that, covered it with water, put it in the food processor after boiling it for a little bit.
Yeah.
And just blended it up. And I'm still on board up to this point. This is all making sense. It's smelling great. I guess, where does it come in? So when you said I should have cooked them longer, the chips themselves?
No, in the sauce.
Oh, in the sauce. So when you cook them in the sauce, is that gonna, that makes them not mushy?
It does get a little mushy. Yeah.
I think this is just a mushy, and you can literally see my brain is not computing and putting this, is not putting this together of like, why do you want mushy chips? Why do you want mushy chips?
And this is a recipe with mushy chips. It can be, or you know, it depends how you make it.
I think going forward for me, I'm gonna make the salsa, and I think I'll just enjoy it as like chip Dunkin'.
Perfect.
All right, final one, stock question. If there were no societal or legal consequences, what animal are you most curious to try eating?
I don't think I'm that adventurous.
No, you're not an adventurous food person?
No.
What's, so you've never
had... I've been to a restaurant that had kangaroo. That was in Kentucky.
What? Wait, how'd they get kangaroo to Kentucky?
Yeah. There's actually a... not in Louisville, but like an hour and a half away, there's a place you can go pet kangaroos.
Adorable.
Yeah.
And then when the petting zoo closes, that restaurant goes and snags them.
That's probably where they got him from.
So you never tried kangaroo?
I did not.
What's, you ever do like a, oh, what about, lengua?
Lengua,
yeah,
tongue?
Lengua, tongue, yeah.
No.
I've never done tongue?
I've never done tongue.
That's
crazy. I'm not adventurous like that.
I've done tongue. I've done it. I've had a tongue taco.
There you go.
You should do it.
Okay.
It's good. It's tasty. It's a little chewy, but I'm trying to... Nothing. So were you just like a chicken nugget gal?
Not that. Not that bland.
I was going for that reaction. Okay. You fucking rule. Thank you so much for hanging out.
Let's go grab
you a shirt. I will put your Instagram handle, but what is the handle? You can say it right now, and then people can go follow you. Or if you don't want them to, then who cares? I won't put anything, and they can just listen to this episode and give you good thoughts.
Louisville Therapy Animals.
Nice. I'll put that one. Okay, guys. Louisville Therapy Animals. Danny Clay, dinner at your place. I said Patreon, so go find patreon.com/Danny Clay and give me $1. That's all I'm going to charge is $1 a month. Love you lots. Bye.